Vishanta Ganira Vistara, the beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens of Dwarka, and the gopis, the milkmaids of Vrindavan, who are the foremost of all. These consorts all come from Srimati Radharani. Avatari Krishna Yaiche Kare Avatara Amsani Radha Haite Tina Ganira Vistara. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna, is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. Vaibhava Gana Yena Tanra Anga Vibhuti Bimba Pratibimba Rupa Mahishira Tati. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radharani, and the queens of Dwarka are reflections of her image. Where are we? Govinda Nandini Radha, Govinda Mohini, Govinda Sarvaspa Sarva Kanta Shiromani. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, Krishna. And she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. And this is a very classic verse. We're sort of going to focus more on this one. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. The transcendental goddess, Srimati Radharani, is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the law. So let's say a few words about these things. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya today. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurumani Pacharne. Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Bhastvachyadeshatarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Yes, so Srimati Radharani, these verses we've just read, culminating in the last one a minute ago, they are describing who is Srimati Radharani and what is her unique position. And it's really very amazing and very wonderful. Who is Srimati Radharani? Who is she? Well, the last verse we just read, in the very last little sentence of it, put it very nicely and succinctly. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. us. So who is Srimati Radharani then? She is the internal potency, or particularly, specifically, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Means, if you think about it, she is part of Krishna. In a sense, she is not exactly another person, but she is just a part of Krishna's being, a part of who he is. We are more like separate persons. We are also his potency, his energy, but not directly a part of him as such. Inasmuch as my hand is part of, well, of course, I am not this body, so I won't say it's part of me, but people would say it's part of me, perhaps. So Radharani is part of Krishna in that sense, actually part of his existence, whereas we are the energy which is expanded from him and separated from him also. So she is directly part of Krishna. And what particular part? She is Krishna's pleasure potency. Means the capacity of God to enjoy pleasure. But now she has been placed outside of him as a separate personality. That does not mean that now Krishna has lost his capacity to enjoy. It's all a little subtle. No, he retains his capacity to enjoy, but at the same time, his capacity to enjoy is now also situated outside of him, separately, as another person. Why? To increase his experience of pleasure. To increase his experience of pleasure, his enjoyment. And she does so many things. She interacts with Krishna in so many just amazing ways. And all of that increases his enjoyment. This is the whole idea. Just as an interesting little contrast, those of you who may have read Brahma Samhita, it's another one of our books. Perhaps it's available here, I'm not sure, but generally it's available. Published by our Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. In Brahma Samhita, there's a description quite towards the beginning of Lord Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu. Now, we just read, if you remember, that from Srimati Radharani are coming the Lakshmis, the goddesses of fortune, headed by Mahalakshmi. But there are many Lakshmis. Then in Dwaraka, there are the queens, thousands, queens of Krishna in Dwaraka. They're all coming from her. They're all coming from her. So, and the Lord, as the Lord expands himself, we read, she expands to be with him in his expanded forms, different forms, Narayan, Vishnu, and Narsinga Dev, Kurma, Varaha, etc., etc., Balaram, Lord Ram, Ramachandra. As he expands in so many forms for his pastimes, she expands to accompany him. So we were mentioning Lord Mahavishnu. as described in Brahma Samhita. So the description there is that his particular consort, who is an expansion of Radharani, her name is Rama. Not Rama, but Rama. The emphasis on the last syllable. Rama Devi. But unlike generally with those different consorts of the different forms of the Lord, different consorts who are expanded from Radharani, unlike them who are separately manifest as separate personalities, even though they're part of the Lord directly, Rama is often within Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is enjoying pastimes with his consort, who is an expansion of Radharani, within. And those pastimes, of course, are so compelling and so totally attractive that he withdraws his consciousness and he is simply conscious within as he is having exchanges within with his consort. Therefore, externally, it looks like he's sleeping. He's apparently unconscious, his eyes are closed, and he's apparently not aware of what's going on externally. But he's not actually sleeping or dreaming, something like that. His state is called yoga nidra. It's a trance, spiritual trance-like state, or actually a state of trance, in which he's enjoying pastimes, exchanges with Rama Devi within. But otherwise, generally, as we know, Lord Ram, his consort is Sita. She's an expansion of Radharani. And she is external to Lord Ram, their husband and wife. Yes, so Srimati Radharani is that pleasure potency of the Lord manifested as a person, separate person, having all sorts of amazing loving exchanges with Krishna. And she is the presiding deity of devotional service to the Lord. Yes, she is. She herself is the greatest devotee. Pleasure potency, giving pleasure. How giving pleasure? Through service. And anyone else who is rendering service to Krishna, that is going on under her. We may, even ourselves, I mean. Just like the young ladies, I noticed just a little. They were dancing so nicely in kirtan, wasn't it? Wasn't it nice? Inspired. This is a form of service for the pleasure of Krishna. That was going on. The inspiration was coming from Srimati Radharani. So whatever service we do or anyone does is under Srimati Radharani. She is watching. She is with us, even now. She is with us and she is watching our efforts to serve and please her beloved Krishna. Yes, because she's the form of his love, his pleasure potency, and that pleasure, his pleasure, comes through service. Through being served. So as a sort of a purport to that little series of verses we read, I thought I would read, it's just a paragraph, a few sentences from a class given by Srila Prabhupada many years ago. Actually, I don't have it noted here what year exactly, but many years ago, Srila Prabhupada giving a class on Radhastami on this very day and explaining the glories of Srimati Radharani and how, as the presiding deity of devotional service, Bhakti Devi, how she is overseeing the efforts of the devotees, all devotees, not just the special devotees like Sweta Dweep Prabhu, but just all the devotees, including, what's your name again?
Sita.
Sita. Including our Sita. Yes. And what's your name again?
Kirana.
And Kirana. Kirana. Oh, yes, it's actually a fact. So let me just read this little paragraph. So Prabhupada speaking. So anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, oh, she becomes so pleased. Oh, here is a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends Krishna. Oh, here is a devotee. He is better than me. This is Radharani. I may be not a devotee. I may be most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Therefore, we should worship Radharani first. Instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna, you just put it in the hands of Radharani, my mother Radharani, Jagan Mata. If you kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna, oh, Radharani says, oh, you've brought a flower? So, this is Prabhupada speaking, Radharani. Radharani is the embodiment of devotion. Her only interest is to please Krishna. And if we, in our little ways, want to do some service to Krishna, she becomes so pleased. Here is someone who's going to assist me in serving my beloved Krishna. So as Prabhupada says here, I may not even be a devotee really. I may be some just foolish person. Even he says, most fallen rascal. But somehow or other, if I get engaged in some service to Krishna, and I do it through Radharani, requesting, please, can you assist me to offer this to Krishna? She's so pleased, and as Prabhupada says here, she may take whatever it is, a flower, whatever, that you want to offer to Krishna, and offer it on your behalf. And Prabhupada elsewhere, Prabhupada also, again, on a Radhasami day. Elsewhere, Prabhupada said that Radharani may go to Krishna if you are desirous of rendering some service and she's aware. She's so happy. Someone's going to please Krishna. It's wonderful. So Radharani may go to Krishna and say, Krishna, Krishna immediately, yes. Oh yeah, he sits up and takes notice. Here, Krishna is a devotee. This is a devotee from Port Elizabeth named dot, 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 dot. Fill in the blank. Anyway, I won't embarrass anyone by suggesting a name. But it could be Sweta Dweep Prabhu. But anyway, it could be any of you. Here is your devotee from Port Elizabeth. Very nice devotee. Wants to render some service. So Krishna, you accept him. Or her. And immediately Krishna, yes, 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 whatever you say. Now, if we try to say, Krishna, here I am, I'm your devotee, accept me. Krishna probably will not notice, actually, because he's surrounded as, you know, not the sufficient of a term, but surrounded by millions and billions and unlimited numbers of great, great devotees who are pure devotees, residents of the kingdom of God, and who are so far in terms of qualification and love for Krishna and Krishna consciousness, they're so far beyond us. They make us look like complete stupids. Complete. Like, is this one a devotee? I don't know. Is he? There's a discussion going on. Is this one a devotee? I don't know. You know, sometimes he thinks about other things. Sometimes he thinks about serving Krishna, but sometimes he's got other things on his mind. So I don't know. Is he a devotee or what is he? He's thinking about being a devotee, but they're not just thinking about being devotees. They're on just the absolute topmost platform of pure love of God. And Krishna's surrounded by unlimited zillions of them. And here's me saying, Krishna, here I am, I'm your devotee. It won't work. It won't work. Therefore, we must go through. Through. Actually, we must go through the disciplic succession, but ultimately, we must go through Srimati Radharani. And this is why we chant Hare Krishna, because Hare is Srimati Radharani. So anyway, those are just some points in terms of background and like that. I thought we could tell you a few pastimes. There are many pastimes in different of our literatures. There's so many. I thought I would tell you one pastime. Well, let me tell you, seeing it is Radhastami Day, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, let me just tell you a little bit about her appearance. Actually, there are different descriptions, somewhat different. One sort of most commonly accepted, perhaps, description is that Vrishabhanu Maharaj, who's counted as her father, who was living in Vrindavan, he was plowing a field. And as he plowed in the earth, he found Srimati Radharani. Another version is that he found her floating down the Yamuna on a lotus leaf. Anyway, the basic idea and principle is he found her and took her back to the palace there. It's at a place in the Vrindavan area called Raval. Perhaps some of you have been there. So the only problem was, though, her eyes were sealed shut. Not that she was blind or anything, but her eyes were closed and were just like unopenable. They couldn't be opened, apparently sealed closed. But she was such a beautiful little girl. Vrishabhanu Maharaj and his wife, Mother Kirtida, they decided to keep her as a daughter. They had no children, actually. At that stage, they had no children. So, severe they were keeping her there. Then after just some days, because Radharani, this is the Ashtami, Rad Ashtami, Krishna's appearance is on the previous Ashtami, Janmashtami or Krishnashtami. Ashtami meaning the eighth day of the moon. In other words, there's just 2 weeks difference. Just 2 weeks difference. So, Krishna had appeared. Krishna was there in Gokula, which is very near, actually, to Ravel. Having appeared just 2 weeks before. And now, this family, Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida, they had received their child. Also on the next Ashtami, just roughly 2 weeks later. And as parents do, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, decided to go and visit their very close friends and almost sort of neighbors. They may be like 5 kilometers away, something like that. To go and visit them and take Krishna and see their new child, Radharani. So Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they went over there to Ravel. And they were talking with Vrishabhanu and Kirtida. And they put little Krishna down. You know, Krishna, we're talking here of some weeks old, basically, some weeks. But Krishna, being Krishna, he crawled. Those of you who have experience with babies know, in the beginning, they cannot crawl. Did you know that? You couldn't crawl before. And me too. But it was a long time ago. So normally babies can't crawl until, what is it? You tell me, 6 months or 3 months?
8 months. 7, 8 months.
7, 8. Look at that. Krishna had only been around for some weeks, but he was crawling because he can do things like this. Krishna stepped out of the womb fully dressed, with bangles, necklaces, earrings, etc., etc., and a crown, and started speaking in perfect Sanskrit on the spot, you know, within seconds or minutes or something like that. So if he wants to crawl after a few weeks, no problem, he can crawl. So he did. He crawled over. Srimati Radharani was in a cradle on the ground. And Krishna crawled over. You know, a little cradle with sides like this. And Radharani's inside lying on her back, looking up, but her eyes are apparently sealed, closed. So Krishna pulled himself up on the side of the cradle and looked over the top, and there was his beloved Srimati Radharani. And as Krishna looked over the top, she opened her eyes. And so Krishna was the first person or anything that she saw. And indeed, for the rest of her time, she only saw Krishna. Nothing else, no one else. So they at Ravel, they have nice, it's not a big temple, but it's sort of a little medium size, something like that. And they have a nice little display, Radharani in her cradle. So yes, that was the appearance of Srimati Radharani. And as we said, there are many pastimes. There are many pastimes. Her relationship with Krishna is so deep for she only knows him and he only knows her. And her love, his love for her and her love for him, is just so, it's literally unlimited. And as a result, when they associate together, because of the power of each other's love, they become influenced. And for example, Krishna, this is actually now from Nectar of Devotion, from our Nectar of Devotion, Krishna sometimes, when he's with Radharani and they're associating together, her influence is so powerful and affects him so much, sometimes he becomes bewildered. He may drop things. He may start talking some nonsense or something like that because of the potency, the power of the love of Radharani. So in Nectar of Devotion, there's a description. Well, and when Krishna does that, if he becomes a little confused and drops something, or says the wrong thing, then Radharani and the gopis laugh, and Krishna feels embarrassed. So in Nectar of Devotion, there's the description that one time Lord Krishna had decided, never again, not again, I'm not going to do anything foolish when Radharani comes by. I will be cool. Cool as a cucumber. Well, anyway, I will be super cool and not be affected. Let her come. So, Krishna went out to milk the cows. And who should come but Srimati Radharani and her gopi friends? And they saw there's Krishna milking the cow. And they expected something funny to happen because, as we said, normally it happens because Krishna becomes affected by the presence of Radharani. But not this time. Krishna was milking the cow. Nonchalantly, everything is fine, life is going on, everything is normal, and I am cool. And the gopis walked by, Radharani and the gopis walked by, and they're really surprised. Wow, this is very unusual. And Krishna was there, and he's watching them walk by, and Krishna was thinking, just see, I was cool. I am cool. Unaffected. Good for me. Suddenly, Radharani and the gopis stopped and roared with laughter and pointed at Krishna. Look at Krishna. Oh. And just laughed and laughed. And Krishna's milking the cow, and Krishna thought, what are they laughing at? They shouldn't laugh. Because I'm cool. I'm watching the cow. But they were really laughing and pointing. And then Krishna noticed he was milking a bull. And he realized, oh, done it again. So, let me tell you one story from the Varshana area, which is where Radharani lived after the family left Raval. Well, after, anyway. It's where the family lived after some time after they'd left Raval. So, yes, Varshana is very nice, a very beautiful area actually, even today. There are four hills. Nice, very nice hills. And on top of one, there's a place. It's called Dangar, which basically means the place of tax collecting pastimes. So anyway, the story goes that there was a poor Brahmin, like a priest, very poor, living in Unchigaon, the place of Lalita, which is not far at all. It's just two or three kilometers from Darshani. You can see it. It's just down the road, literally. He was very poor, and he had a daughter of marriageable age. And it is the tradition in that part of India that when there's a marriage, the father of the bride must pay everything, must pay for the whole thing. And these weddings are not small. Yeah, a lot of expense. But this Brahmin was very poor, and his daughter was of marriageable age, and there was a marriage coming up. But he didn't have any money, and he didn't know what to do, so he was asking, what should I do? And someone said, you know, you should go over to Varshana, because Krishna comes every day, and he moves around the hills. And his father is Nanda Maharaj, the king of Vrindavan, and he is very wealthy. So you should go and find Krishna and ask him, can you please, you or your father, give me a donation so I can put on this wedding ceremony? So the Brahmin went over, and he was looking around, and sure enough, he found Krishna and Srimati Radharani at this place called Danga. There's a big swing there, and in those days, there was a big swing. I mean, really big. Really big swing. So they were, Radha and Krishna were there with the gopis, and that Brahmin approached Krishna and explained the situation, wedding, we need money. Can you please give me the most valuable thing you have? And Krishna said, sure, no problem. Here, take her. Radharani, she's the most valuable thing I have. Take her. So Radharani was crying. This is terrible. Krishna's just giving me away. And the poor Brahmin was also crying. You know why? Because he said, up till now, I had just one daughter I had to pay for the wedding for. Now I've got two. Oh, it's a disaster. So everyone was crying. And Krishna understood, okay, that wasn't the right thing. So Krishna made a balancing scale on the swing, using the swing. I mean, it's really a big swing. We'll take you there sometime. Come with us next year. We'll go there. And he put Radharani on one side. And on the other side, he manifested gold and jewels until it weighed, it balanced with the weight of Srimati Radharani. And he gave the Brahmin all that gold and jewels. It's just, by our standards, it's just worth millions and millions and millions. And the poor Brahmin was able to put on a very nice wedding. And he was happy, and Radharani was happy, and Krishna was happy. And as they say, they all lived happily ever after. Yeah. I want to tell you another story. This is a very nice story. This is actually from Srila Rupa Goswami. It is found in one of a poem, actually, called Chatu Pushpanjali, which means four offerings of flowers. So in that, Rupa Goswami wrote that poem. And in it, actually in the first verse, it's available, you can read it if you can find it. It says in the first verse, one thing it says is, Srimati Radharani has long black hair, and she ties it, she wears it as one single long plait, which hangs right down her back. And when Radharani moves, the plait of hair moves. And when the hair moves, it looks like a black snake. Yeah. So Rupa Goswami wrote this. He was living in Vrindavan, what is now Vrindavan town. He took it over to Radha Kund, where Srila Sanatan Goswami, his older brother, and like Siksha Guru, was living. And gave it to him and said, could you please read through this and check it and just see, is it all right? Are there any things that should be changed, or can it be, should it be altered, or could it be improved? And so Sanatan Goswami took it. But Sanatan Goswami thought, corrections, changes, there's no need for that. This is by Rupa Goswami. Whatever he writes is completely perfect. But anyway, he's asked me, so I'll read through it. So he started reading. And what did he find? In the first verse, this statement, Radharani has a long plait of black hair, single plait down her back, and when she moves, it moves. And when it moves, it looks like a black snake. And Sanatan Goswami read this, and he thought, what? Black snake? Radharani? That's not nice. But this is Rupa Goswami has written it. How could he make a mistake? But still, black snake, it seems inappropriate. And he became, confused. He didn't know what to make of it all. Should it be changed? Or is it all right, or what? So, after some days, Srila Rupa Goswami returned and said, have you read the poem? What do you think? Is it all right? Is it all right? I want to publish it as soon as possible. But Sanatan Goswami was really in a dilemma. What to do about this black snake idea? So he said, well, I'm still thinking about it. And Rupa said, okay, look, I'm going to wait here. Think about it, but I want to take it fairly soon. So, Sanatan Goswami took it, and he went out. Where he was staying is actually just almost where Radhakund and Shamakund meet, and it's actually just on the Shamakund side, just maybe by 20 meters or something like that. So he went out onto the banks of Shamakund, looking out across the lake. It's not big at all. And as he's looking out there and he's in this state of confusion, a group of village girls arrived on the bank of Shamakund, just directly opposite him. And they started playing a ball game, throwing a ball back and forth and jumping and laughing and shouting and just playing around together. And Sanatan Goswami's watching them. Then he saw one of the girls who had her back to him. He saw suddenly a black snake started climbing up her back. And he jumped to his feet. and he shouted out, "Snake, snake, look out, snake!" And all the girls were panicking a bit. "Where's the snake? Where is it?" "It's on her back! There it is, it's on her back!" And they looked at that girl's back, and they all started laughing and just roaring with laughter. And they said, "That's not a snake. That's her hair." Oh, what a joke. As Nan Goswami felt a bit embarrassed. But then suddenly, those girls vanished. They didn't just quickly run off. It's just suddenly they were just not there. And Sanatan Goswami understood that was Srimati Radharani and the gopis. "They've appeared to me just to show me that whatever Rupa Goswami says is right. I should never have questioned it." So then Rupa Goswami came out and said, "Haven't you finished? Because it's not a long poem. It's just four verses, actually. Haven't you finished? Come on, tell me what you think." And Sanatan Goswami said, "You know, it's just a wonderful poem. I love this poem. There's no need to change anything. I really love this poem. And especially the part about the black snake. Oh, that's just so wonderful." So Rupa Goswami was very happy, and you can read that if you can get your hands on the book. Now, let's see. Let's see if we get any voice from above. Should we carry on, or what should we do? They're not speaking to me tonight. Well, we can easily carry on. What does the voice say?
G-minute.
Okay. That means 15 minutes, by the way. if you understand Creole. Okay, let's see. Well, I could tell you, sure, I could really tell you quite a story. But we'll save it. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow. Let's tell you a story of... okay. You know, if you come with us to Vrindavan next year, the idea is we're going to do whole Vraj Mandal Parikrama all around the whole area for 3 weeks. It is quite an event. So one place we go to, it's a very nice place, it's called Prema Sarovar. Prema, of course, means love, particularly the love of Radha and Krishna. And Sarovar means lake. The lake which is made of the love of Radha and Krishna. Yeah. So Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna were there on the banks of what became Prema Sarovar. It was not at that time. It was just a sort of indentation in the ground. And they were just sitting there. And Radharani was on the lap of Srimati Radharani. And one big bee came, a bumblebee, you know, one of these big, really big ones, except this is a really big one. There's a famous bumblebee in the Vrindavan pastimes. He's so big from so much pollen and nectar and honey and everything that he can't fly properly. So he goes sort of, shoo, boom, And this big bee came. This big bee came. And he started sort of, boom, bothering Radharani, going around her feet and sort of trying to fly up and going, boom. And Radharani became a little disturbed transcendentally. And Krishna called his funny Brahmin friend, Madhu Mangal, and told him, or asked him, will you please, can you just chase away this bee, get rid of this bee? And so Madhu Mangal, with great flair and extravagance, he chased away the bee and came back and made an announcement. Because, you know, in Sanskrit and even just North Indian languages today, but it goes back to Sanskrit, a bee, one name for a bee is Madhu. Madhu also means honey. Or even something sweet, but particularly honey or a bee. So Madhu Mangal came back and made an announcement. Madhu is gone. He's gone. Madhu has gone. Now, there's a problem there. Is that Madhu, well, Madhu meaning sweet. What is the sweetest thing in Vrindavan? Tell me. Oh, go on. Krishna. Krishna is the sweetest thing. So sweet. His body is so aromatic, so fragrant, that it's very difficult for him to sneak around incognito, because everyone can smell from, like, you know, 20, 50 meters away. Oh, Krishna's around. So a name of Krishna is Madhu. And Madhu Mangal, the friend, announced, Madhu has gone. Radharani sitting on Krishna's lap, as happens, she entered into a state of transcendental madness. She's sitting on Krishna's lap directly. But Madhu Mangal, who is a Brahmin, and Brahmins are famous for being totally truthful, said, Madhu has gone. She took it to mean Krishna has gone, although she's sitting on his lap. This is called Prema Vivarta. Prema Vivarta, a type of madness in love. You know, on the basis of that, sometimes Radharani, when she sees a tamal tree, which is black or blackish, something like Krishna, sometimes she thinks, oh, it's Krishna. And she runs to embrace the tree. And she says, wow, what happened to Krishna? His body has become so hard. Or she sees a monsoon cloud, blackish blue, bluish black, and she thinks it's Krishna. So she entered into such a state, even though she was sitting on Krishna's lap. Oh no, Madhu has gone. Krishna has gone. Oh no. And Krishna said, it's okay. I'm here. You're sitting on my lap. Don't worry. And Radharani said, no, no, no. You've gone. Krishna has gone. Oh no. And she started crying. And Krishna said, no, I'm here. Look, you're sitting on my lap. And Radharani said, no, you're a hallucination. You're not here. And she just cried and cried. And Krishna became so overwhelmed, he cried and cried. And their tears flowed down into that sort of hollow in the ground and filled it up. And it became, their tears became the waters of Prema Sarova, the lake made of the love or the tears of love of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. And if you come next year, we'll take you there, okay? Okay. You ready? Yeah, I'm sure you know. Yes, you'll like it. Those are a few stories. Tomorrow night we're going to have another program at roughly the same time. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be, but we could continue with some pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna or something else. Let us see. But thank you all very much for giving your attention. Srimati Radharani ki
jai.
Shishi Radha Radhanath ki
jai.
Shri Rad Astami Mahotsava ki
jai.
Go Premanande.
Is it fine we can have some kirtan for Srimati Radharani before we start prasadam?
Yes.
Everybody is fine, isn't it?
Yes.
So Maharaj, you can read a kirtan.
Okay.
I open the cup.
Yeah. Everyone can stand up for the theater.